Okay, I'm going to talk to you a few minutes. We don't have but a few minutes. And I'm just going to continue on the last time that I spoke here on a Sunday morning. We were talking about how to live in the supernatural. And we had gone through the first listing where Jesus said in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved, but he that believes not will be damned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out devils. And we covered that one. And then the second one was, and they shall speak with new tongues. And I didn't have time to finish that one, so we're going to talk about that one some more tonight. One of the signs of a supernatural believer, what supernatural means is that you do things that you really can't do. Natural means anybody can do it. A natural man, a human, can do it. But to be supernatural means that we can do things that normal humans cannot do. That's what supernatural. And the way we do it is the power of God does it through us. And by the way, thank all of you that went to El Dorado, to Pine Bluff Sunday night. It was a wonderful service. It was so good. And Donald and Thelma just tore up Pine Bluff preaching the gospel. Everybody walked out there saying, man, you can see the anointing on them for Pine Bluff. It was fabulous. It was so good. I tell you, they're going to build a great church in Pine Bluff. Did we ever get a count on how many people was there from Pine Bluff? Did anybody ever get a count? Rachel, did we ever get a count? You don't know? Does anybody have a ballpark figure? Well, Gerald and I met a lot of people from Pine Bluff, but I never did know how many it was. But anyway, it's plenty enough to start a good church. So we had talked about speaking with new tongues, and what we had gotten as far as we went through the Old Testament scriptures where it was prophesied that when Jesus came, that he would speak to us with new tongues. And I want to read part of that scripture because what we're going to talk about tonight is the benefits of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes into you. When you ask Jesus to forgive you and your sins are washed away, the Spirit of God comes into you and we're made a new creation. Our human spirit and God's spirit become one and make it a new creation. But then there is another step after that called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the word baptized means to become one with something. And what it actually means is you keep dipping something in something until it becomes the thing that you're putting it into. In the Greek, the word money, copper, is the word baptized because what it means is they would take a piece of clay or metal and they'd dip it down into copper until it became so coated in copper that it was a copper coin. And they were baptizing it in that copper until it becomes coin. So to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is we continually are put in the Spirit and dipped in the Spirit and dipped in the Spirit until we become one with the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to be saved and go to heaven. You don't have to do anything to go to heaven but believe in Jesus and have your sins washed away with the blood of Jesus. And then he comes in and makes us a new creation. But see, once we get saved, we usually live here a long time after that before we go to heaven. And so the purpose for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is the power of God that Jesus said would be given to us to do all these great things here on earth. All these wonderful supernatural things that we will be able to do when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we're going to read some of those things tonight. What some of the benefits of being baptized in the Holy Spirit are. Now, the Old Testament scripture I wanted us to look at, Isaiah 28:11, it says, this is talking about when Jesus comes. It said, with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith it will cause the weary to rest. So that's the first benefit of being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. It gives us a supernatural rest. And when we're physically weary because we're natural creatures, The Holy Ghost, being baptized in the Holy Ghost, when we pray in tongues, gives us a supernatural rest. And to be able to do everything that God's called us to do in this life, it's going to take that supernatural rest. Because, you know, when you work a 40-hour week job, that just in the natural, that would take it out of you. But then we do all of our most of our ministry after we finish our 40-hour week job. See? So we need the power of the Holy Spirit to rest our physical body so that we can do the things that God has called us to do. Okay, and then let's see. In Isaiah 40, it says, "The Lord will give me the tongue of the learned, so that I will know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He will waken me morning by morning, and he will waken my ear to hear as the learned." So this is another benefit of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, is that when we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, and Mahala said this, so Mahia, however you say her name, Miha, I never pronounced her name right. She spoke to us in the prophecy class last week, and oh my goodness. Every time I hear that girl speak, I think it's the best message I ever heard. But she was talking about praying in tongues, and she said that when one reason that she was talking about using your gift of prophecy when you're operating in gift, she said, always pray in tongues long periods of time before you're going to minister in the gift of prophecy. She said, because when you're praying in tongues, and this works for every gift, teaching, preaching, laying on hands of the sick, you know, whatever your gift is. She said, when you're praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is dropping things into your spirit that you don't know He's dropping into your spirit. And we'll read that in a minute where it talks about our understanding is unfruitful when we're praying the Holy Ghost. We do not understand what we're praying for or about. But it don't matter, because God, the Holy Spirit in us, is praying to God above. And all this spiritual stuff is going on between them. But then when we get into the situation where we need to know, He tells us. And she said, when you're praying in tongues, stuff is being dropped into your spirit that you don't even know is being dropped into your spirit. So then when you get up to begin to prophesy over people, stuff will just come out of you that you didn't know was in you. I thought that was brilliant. I thought that was great. You know, that's just another benefit of praying in tongues. So it says that He will give us a word in season to speak to the weary. So when we're praying in the Holy Spirit and we're being led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you know, when you're trying to minister to somebody and trying to help somebody that's really weary, He will just give you the word. He'll give you the tongue of the learned. That's the tongue of the Holy Ghost, the tongue of the learned. Because it's not learned by natural means. It's things that the Holy Spirit has put within us. John 14, it says, But when the Comforter, Jesus is talking, He said when He goes back, the Holy Spirit is going to come. He said, and He called Him the Comforter, which, you know, is the Greek word for Holy Spirit, Paraclete, Comforter. When the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, has come, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. That's amazing, isn't it? No Christian should ever say, I don't know how to do that. Because it says, Jesus said right out of His mouth, the Holy Ghost will teach you all things. And He will bring all things to your remembrance that I've said to you. So when you're reading your Bible, that's Jesus talking to you. You know, the Word of God is the face of God, the presence of God, where the fullness of joy is. And so when you're and that's how you look at Jesus, is when you look at His face in His Word. And you read the life of Jesus and you study Jesus. And it said, then when you're out through your day, the Holy Ghost will bring to your remembrance everything Jesus said to you when you that you read in that Word. And when you hit a situation that you don't know what to do, the Holy Ghost will tell you what to do. I had a situation happen last week, and I had no idea what to do. None. Somebody came and told me something that just blew me away, and I had no idea what to do. So I just prayed in the Holy Ghost. And Jerry Dell said, what do you think? And I said, God hasn't told me what to think about that. I don't know what to think. I'm just praying in tongues, and when the Lord tells me what to think, I'll think about it. But until He tells me what to think, I'm not going to think about it. And I went about a week and a half, and I refused to think about it, what that person had told me. And it was really bad. It was really, really bad. But I wouldn't think about it. Because the Holy Ghost has to tell you what to think. So, the other morning when I was laying there praying at that school situation, and I was praying in the Holy Ghost, asking God for a miracle, and refusing to believe that it was going to be what they said it was, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and he said, "This is exactly the way I want you to treat that other situation. You make up your mind it's not going to be bad. That I'm going to turn it for good and I'm going to get glory out of it." And that's what I do. If anybody says anything to me about it, I say, God's going to get glory out of it. Satan sent it for bad to destroy people, but God's going to turn it for good. And one day those people are going to look back and say, that's the best thing that ever happened to me. Because it brought me to the place of ministry that I'm at now. So see, we can't even think without the Holy Ghost telling us what to think. And so, you know, anytime a situation hits us, you know, don't reason. Don't try to figure it out. Don't make funeral plans, Jimmy, in your head. That's what the devil will want you to do. He'll want you to lay awake at night making funeral plans. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Because that's a natural thing to do when you get a bad diagnosis. You do just the opposite. You think about life and life more abundantly. You're much too young to go to heaven. You got a lot of life left in you. A lot of time left to minister. And so when a situation hits you or somebody tells you something, you don't make any decisions about it. You don't think about it. You start praying in the Holy Ghost. Until God tells you what to think. Jesus said the Holy Ghost will bring all things to your remembrance, what I've said to you. He will bring a scripture to you, and that's what you will apply to that situation. And that's all you will allow to think in your mind. That's all you will allow yourself to think about. The door shut to every other thought. Okay. And the next one is 1 John 2:27. It says, but the anointing that you have received, the anointing means being covered over by the Holy Spirit. The word anointing, you know, Jesus is Yeshua HaMashiach, Christ the anointed one. HaMashiach in Hebrew is rubbed with oil. That's what the word anointing is, rubbed with oil. And so it says, and the anointing that you received, or the rubbing down that you received by the Holy Ghost till you become one with him, abides in you, and you do not need for any man to teach you. That's twice. Anytime the Bible tells you something one time, it's important. But when it tells you two times, it's doubly important. It tells you three times, and on and on and on. It says, for you do not need for any man to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things. So everything in your life you need to know about. You have a promise here. All things that the Holy Ghost will teach you. He'll teach you how to treat your husband or your wife. He'll teach you how to raise your children. He'll teach you how to do a job that your boss wants you to do you weren't trained for. He'll teach your kids how to drive a car. How many of you women remember when they handed you that your first baby in that hospital and you did not have a clue? You were not raised around babies. You had never taken care of a baby. They don't give you a manual. They just wrap that baby up in a blanket and hand it to you. Well, see, the Holy Ghost teaches us all things. I was reading a thing the other day that said that most young mothers feel totally inadequate and unprepared to raise children. But that's why Jesus gave us the Bible. See, everything we need to know about raising children is in the Bible. And he will teach you all things, and his truth. He is the truth, and he is no lie. And even as he has taught you, you will abide in him, which means you stay baptizing yourself in the Holy Ghost all the time. You stay in the Holy Spirit. You don't just get filled with the Holy Ghost one time and then walk away. You stay in the Holy Spirit all the time. You pray in tongues all the time. All right, Jude 1, it said, and they told you that in the last days there would be mockers. And they would walk around in their own ungodly lust. And these are those who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So how do you build your faith? One way is praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost builds your faith. So when you're praying in the Holy Ghost on your way to work every day and on the way home every day and that wonderful time you have with just you and God alone, you don't turn on the stupid radios. Sorry. You don't turn on the radio and listen to talk shows, and you pray in the Holy Ghost. We don't get enough alone time in life. And what alone time we do get, we need to use it to pray in the Holy Ghost and build our faith and let us be deposited with supernatural wisdom from God that we will need as we go through our day. And then it says, and keep yourself in the love of God. See, praying in the Holy Ghost, we're going to read a scripture over here in a minute that says that praying in the Holy Ghost, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're protecting the love of God in you. You're building the love of God in you. Another thing Miha said that I thought was so good. She said, you should never try to operate in a spiritual gift until you have been healed with the love of Jesus. Because you operate out of that love. And if a person is not operating out, the love that the Lord came in and healed us with is the same love that we give to other people when we operate gifts to them. And she said, if you're not healed, then what you're putting forth out of you is not the love of God. You're either doing it because you want attention or because you want recognition or it's giving you self-worth. And none of those things are right, and the flesh always brings death. So you operate your ministry out of the love of God that came into you when God healed you. And the Bible says praying in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost sheds in our heart the love of God. So praying in the Holy Ghost all day long is filling us with the love of God. That's an awesome thought, isn't it? Okay, now then, another benefit of praying in the Holy Ghost. We went through this one the other time, James 3, where it says, if a man does not offend in word, he is a perfect man. And he said, if you can bridle your tongue, you can bridle your whole body. And he said, your whole life is turned around. He said, a great ship is turned around, turned any which way the governor wants to go with a very small helm. In other words, this whole big life that God's given us, it's controlled by our tongue. Everything that happens to us and that we do is controlled by our tongue. And it said, and the tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. And it, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And it defiles our whole body. And it is set on fire by hell. Isn't that a good word? No, but it is the truth. But here's the good word. For every kind of beast, birds, serpents, things in the sea have tamed and been tamed in man. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. But what can tame the tongue? The Holy Ghost. That is the reason we pray in tongues. You know, people that don't believe in praying in tongues think it's absolutely insane and crazy. They think we're crazy. They call us holy rollers. They have all these little names for us, you know. Because the one thing the devil don't want is for us to tame our tongue. All you got to do is turn the TV on to Donald Trump and you see the results of an untamed tongue. I thought I put my foot in my mouth a lot. I think he holds the record. And I'm not talking bad about Donald Trump. I'm just saying the man can't open in his mouth without setting somebody on fire. To call that lady that's running so ugly nobody would vote for her. I mean, who would say something like that if they're running for president? I mean, that just blows my mind. But that's what happens when the tongue is not tamed. And you may be going to vote for Donald Trump. I'm not telling you who to vote for. But I'm just saying, what if he gets up one morning and decides to start pouncing on the president of other countries the way he's been pouncing on his opponents? He will have us in a war so fast. We will not even know which way we're coming and going. I pray God. If he is going to be president, please get control of his tongue. I don't know who's going to be president. I don't really care. I mean, I hope we do have a godly president. That I do hope. But at the same time, I don't trust the president of the United States for my life. Jesus controls my life, and I'm going to have a good life. I don't care who's sitting in the White House. That has nothing to do with the my life, you know. And I'm going to pray for the most godly person running, and then I believe that God will take care of me. Okay, enough about politics. But no tongue, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So the major reason to pray in tongues is so that it's tamed. The Holy Ghost can tame our tongue. And you know, I've been trying to do this for a long time. I'm not real successful at it yet, but I'm really, really trying. Is that every time I'm confronted with any kind of a question or situation, I don't say anything until I pray in tongues about it. If somebody comes and asks me something, if it's not something that you automatically know, like where's a Bible scripture or, you know, is this wrong or is that wrong? But if they ask me a question that I have to think about, I don't want to give an answer until I pray in tongues. See? Because it's a safe place. It is a safe place to always pray in tongues and get the word from God. All right. 1 Peter 3:10. It says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile or lies." So, if we want to have a long and happy life, we've got to get control of our tongue. We just have to do that. And the only way we can do it is the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible says, no man can tame his tongue. Okay, James 1:26. If anyone among you seems to be religious but does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. See, it's not even the devil who deceives us. We deceive ourselves when we do not have control of our tongue. All right, now I want to skip over here, and I want to just read some of the benefits. Get them in the right order, and I didn't have time. Let's see. All right, Proverbs 10 says, "The tongue of the righteous is like choice silver, and he will feed many." So that's a person who is in control of their tongue. And the only way we can control our tongue is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then God can use us to minister to other people and feed other people. The tongue of the wise is help. That's what I was talking about, speaking over your body. Speak healing over your body. Use your tongue to speak healing over your body all the time. All the time. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge right. And a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. So when we're using our tongue to pray in the Holy Spirit, see, it's just bringing us more and more good life. More of that abundant life that Jesus promised us. Whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue protects his soul. So we're protected when we pray in tongues. He protects his soul from trouble. Who wants to be protected from trouble? That's Proverbs 21:23. That's a powerful promise. Protecting your soul from trouble comes from keeping your tongue in your mouth, speaking the word of God, praying in tongues. Okay, now, in Luke 2:26, we're still talking about, we only got a couple minutes, only got time to read a few more, the benefits of the Holy Spirit praying in tongues. It says, when Jesus was born and they brought him to the temple to be circumcised as the law stated, and Luke 2, it says, it's talking about Simeon, he was a prophet. It said, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. So see this, Jesus had said the Holy Ghost will show us things to come and teach us all things. So the Holy Ghost had told him he wouldn't die until he had seen the Messiah. See, one of the major jobs of the Holy Spirit is showing us the future. Where are you going to be 10 years from now? The Holy Ghost knows. And so he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought the child in. So being at the right place and at the right time are all part of being filled with the Holy Spirit. He was at the right place and he was at the right time because of the Holy Ghost. And see, praying in tongues will do that. Shirley had a great testimony the other day. She went to mail a letter and she opened up her car door and to put this mail thing. And she got back to the church and couldn't find her purse. And she just thought back and remembered. The last time she'd used it was at that mailbox. And she drove back over there and her purse was still laying there on the ground. In the parking lot at Garden Oak. Now, what a miracle is that? What if she had not remembered where she had left her purse? You know, how long do you think it would have laid there? See, all those things, the right place and the right time, those are all part of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told in Luke 24, Jesus told them before, when he was leaving earth to go back to heaven, he said, I will send the promise of my Father to you, but you tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is being gifted with the power of God. That's what makes us supernatural in this life. Being gifted with the power of God. Romans 8:26. This is probably one that we quote the most. The Spirit helps us with our infirmities. Now, this word infirmity don't mean sicknesses. It means weaknesses. It can be a weakness from a sickness, but it can be a weakness from depression or fear or any mental attack, you know. It can be a weakness from problems in your family that keep you beat down all the time, you know. Infirmity covers every form of weakness. Our weaknesses come through different ways. You know, it could be a bad marriage. It could be children that don't want to live for God that keep us upset all the time. It could be money. You know, it could be your job. But anyway, the Holy Ghost helps us with it, whatever it is, whatever that weakness is. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So see, anytime we hit a situation, we just start praying in tongues. And the Holy Ghost takes our weakness to God the Father. And God the Father sends back the strength and the help that we need. So in every situation, every single day, praying in the Holy Ghost is so powerful. That's why the devil don't want anybody to pray in tongues. That's why many religions don't believe in it and preach against it. Because it is the most powerful tool other than the Word of God and the blood of Jesus that we have here on earth. Ephesians says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So to understand what the Lord will of God is in our life, it takes being filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. You know, the will of God is the desire of God. Will is the word desire. And so what God wants and what God desires is His will. And the only way that we know that is, number one, by His word, and number two, praying in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit revealing it to us. And Jesus said, and you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. This is Acts 1:8-9. And you will be witnesses unto me. And so being filled with the Holy Ghost makes us bold witnesses for Jesus. It makes us not afraid to talk about Jesus, not afraid to be called a Christian. And I have many, 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 many more pages of benefits, and we don't have time for them tonight. We'll do it again another Wednesday night. But I just want to say to you, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost and you do speak in tongues, you're not doing it enough. You know how I know you're not doing it enough? None of us are. None of us are. The more we pray in the Holy Ghost, the more powerful we are. The more things we know, the more we know what to do, the more we walk in the supernatural. And I'm just telling you, there is such a sense of urgency in the Spirit that this is the year to move into that place. Quit being weak. Quit lagging behind. Get into the supernatural. Quit being just a sit-on-the-pew Christian and become a supernatural believer.